Lippy, lip gloss, eyeliner, mascara, maybe they're not being applied as much on a Sunday morning, and perhaps that's good. UK scientists looking at the cosmetics industry worldwide found 56% of lipsticks and 55% of lip glosses were carrying Staphylococcus bacteria, 69% of mascaras as well, 72% of beauty blenders, 77% of eyeliners. More than a quarter of beauty blenders, i.e. sponges, and 1 in 10 lipsticks and lip glosses were harbouring E. coli. When you're applying foundation, there's a 57% chance you're also applying fungi onto your face. So why and how much should people using these cosmetics be worried? Amreen Bashir is a biomed scientist at Aston University, and she co-wrote this research. Dr. Amreen Bashir, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for doing this for us. Why did you set out to examine cosmetics?
When I started doing my research, I realised there was actually quite a big gap in kind of the research area. So I decided to spend a bit of time in my lab and actually work on this area and add to existing knowledge.
Okay. Up to 90, but see, this is the sort of spin the English tabloids are putting on this, and I want to ask you if it's right. Up to 90% of used cosmetics products could be harbouring potentially deadly microbes. In fact, I've seen the paper. That is roughly right.
Yeah. So I think the other important thing to remember is bacteria have a number that can cause disease. So they have an infectious dose. Most bacteria, it's about 100 or more, but some bacteria, even one cell, can cause disease. So finding things that you're not expecting in makeup is actually quite a big thing.
What did you do to find the harmful levels of bacteria, Amreen?
So in the microbiology laboratory, we've got agar media. So we cultured our samples onto the agar media. So the agar media basically have nutrients that allow the microbes to survive. And then once we'd done that, we did a bit of biochemical testing, so looking at their physical properties, their chemical properties. And then we confirmed our results using mass spectrophotometry, and we were quite fortunate that one of the local hospitals allowed us to do that.
The higher the water content, the higher the likelihood of contamination?
Yes.
Which explains why the blender sponges that are used to put on foundation, etc., are the worst culprits?
Oh, definitely. So most bloggers and makeup artists will actually encourage users to dampen their beauty blender before applying. So if you think about the actual environment, you've got a sponge that you're dampening, and then you're applying, say, foundation or products with it that contain nutrients. So you're potentially giving bacteria a kind of niche to grow in.
You examined 467 products, and I'm assuming that they go out worldwide, that essentially we in New Zealand will have the same issue as you do in the UK.
Yes, I think it's a global issue.
Right. Is it the fault of the manufacturers, the packages, the users?
I think the biggest thing here is educating the consumers. Because when the manufacturers make their cosmetics, they put preservatives in there, and then for that set period of time, they shouldn't harbour microorganisms. Now, the issue we found was people were keeping their cosmetics way past their expiry dates, so those preservatives are no longer active and can't protect the consumers.
And we often tend to ignore the use-by. In this day and age, we think people are being too careful. But so with cosmetics, it's really important not to ignore it.
Well, it's important not to ignore with most things, to be honest. So I did a quick kind of some stats before I spoke to you. And so for mascara, for example, they're saying that you should discard it by 3 to 6 months maximum. And we found that 91% of our mascaras had actually been kept up to 10 years.
Wow.
So most, the average being a couple of years. That's really worrying.
It is worrying. What is the real danger? Do we think women especially are getting sick?
I think the issue is it's unreported. And when you go to the GP, people will complain about an upset tummy, internal things. But things that are caused by makeup and diseases are not that well established. Some of the organisms that we found could potentially cause skin infections like impetigo, but it's unlikely people are making those comparisons.
Will bacteria simply die off on a dry sponge?
Over time, once the nutrients have kind of dried up, you'd expect the bacteria to dry up as well. But then when we look at studies of survival of bacteria, some of these organisms can actually survive for months and years with very low limited nutrients.
Okay. So if women are using, and others, are using cosmetics and are using them slightly past the desired date, could they treat the sponges, for example, like kitchen cloths and zap them in the microwave? Would that help?
So there's varying views on microwaving, for example, the beauty blenders. So one of, tap into YouTube, one of the methods that some people are advertising is wash your beauty blender with warm, soapy water and then stick in the microwave and then clean it out. But I haven't actually done any research on that, so I don't know the effectiveness of that method. But I personally don't think it will be that effective, especially with something like a beauty blender. So the sponge that's been harboring microorganisms over time, my advice would be once you've had it for a couple of months, chuck it out and buy a new one.
We're talking with biomed scientist Dr. Amreen Bashir. The photo I think we're using of you online, you've got full coverage, makeup coverage.
Oh, I love makeup. So I am by no means saying don't wear makeup. I'm a good promoter of makeup.
So I'm just thinking that you must be as anxious as anybody when you see the results of your own studies. It must make you quite careful.
Of course, and I think becoming a microbiologist in general has made me very careful.
The trouble, it seems to me, as someone who doesn't use cosmetics, is that presumably some of them wouldn't be used all the time. So you would have a stick of something sitting in the drawer that you would only get out every so often. So it becomes a question of affordability then. You can't keep renewing makeup you don't use all the time.
I agree with you, and I think to kind of combat that, if manufacturers produce more single-use or miniature versions of their products that were at a more affordable price, it'd be a win-win situation for all. So if the product was only designed to last a certain time, then consumers would go out and buy more, and it wouldn't affect the manufacturer's profits.
That seems a very sensible suggestion, especially if it didn't affect the profits, so I wonder why it's not being done.
I know, definitely. And miniature versions often come out at Christmas time, but we don't see them all year round. And disposable kind of applicators for mascaras, lip glosses, are all things that could be implemented.
Is there one product that you, obviously the sponges with the residual water and bacteria in them.
Yeah.
Of those kinds of beauty products, from the lip glosses to the lipsticks and mascaras and so on, is there one worst culprit, did you find?
So in terms of like gut pathogens, so anything that we would call an indicator organism of fecal contamination essentially, the lip glosses actually have the highest load compared to all of our products, followed by mascara.
Okay. Wow. So there is certainly a danger lurking, and this will be currently affecting millions and millions of women.
Indeed.
Can I ask you a question about the accumulation of pathogens, which seems to be important? That is partly obviously a product of time.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, if you use something every day, that could be worse than just using it occasionally.
Indeed. And we've got microorganisms that are part of our normal flora on our skin, for example, on our lips. So we are essentially contaminating them with our own bacteria. And what really worries me is when people share cosmetics. So beauty salons, friends, families, things can be passed on from one person to another. So we're happy with our own kind of bacteria, but we wouldn't essentially be okay with somebody else's.
It's a bit like roulette, isn't it? Russian roulette, in the sense that there might be 100 chambers in the gun and only one bullet, but eventually, probably, you're going to get sick from it.
Indeed, I like that analogy.
Well, see, it actually sort of seems accurate, doesn't it? You know, eventually you'll come down with something, and as you say, see the GP, not sure what's causing it, and nor is she or he.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the pathogens seem really nasty, and I'm just wondering how they end up in makeup.
So this is actually really alarming and worrying. Most of the organisms that we found were actually gut pathogens. So these are indicating fecal contamination. So it's likely that when somebody's applied makeup, they've not washed their hands after going to the toilet, or they've dropped the product on the floor in the bathroom and then not cleaned it and carried on applying it. So that's a really alarming kind of finding from our research.
It is alarming.
And if we go back to beauty blenders, we found that 93% of them had never been cleaned and 63% had been dropped on the floor and carried on being used.
It's the old hygiene thing again, isn't it? The importance of...
Yeah.
Thank you very much for alerting this to us, and thank you for giving us your time.
No, thank you for interviewing me and giving my research its importance.
Dr. Amreen Bashir.